There comes a moment, somewhere between exhaustion and clarity, when you finally understand that the world outside you is not what overwhelms you. It's the world inside your own mind. The thoughts that race without direction, the emotions that rise without warning, the impulses that speak louder than your intentions. And in that moment of recognition, you begin to see something quietly powerful. The difference between a life you react to and a life you command begins within you, not around you. Most people move through their days in a kind of emotional storm, pulled by frustration, pushed by anxiety, shaken by fear, blinded by anger. They believe the chaos comes from life itself, but the Stoics understood something far more radical. Chaos lives inside, not outside. The outside world is just the trigger. The inside world is the battlefield. And the person who wins that inner battle becomes someone the world cannot easily move. Imagine waking up each morning with a mind that feels spacious instead of crowded, calm instead of frantic, grounded instead of scattered. A mind that observes before it reacts, chooses before it speaks, understands before it judges. Imagine walking into stressful situations, difficult conversations, unpredictable challenges, sudden disappointments, and feeling a kind of quiet strength rising in you instead of panic. Imagine knowing that no matter what happens, you will not lose yourself in the noise. This is not fantasy. It is training. The training of your attention, your emotions, your thoughts, your silence, your responses. And once you begin this training, the world feels different. Not because the world has changed, but because you have. The things that once provoked you lose power. The people who once manipulated your emotions no longer find your buttons. The situations that once consumed your energy become manageable, even simple. You begin to experience life from a place of clarity rather than confusion, from choice rather than impulse. The Stoics believed that strength is not loud. It does not live in anger or force or domination. True strength is stillness, the ability to remain centered no matter how intensely life tries to pull you away from yourself. True strength is choosing your state of mind instead of surrendering it to whatever happens around you. True strength is the quiet, unshakable discipline of staying in control of your inner world while the outer world does whatever it wants. And when you reach this level of control, even for brief moments, you begin to understand why some people move through life with a calm, almost magnetic presence. They are not lucky. They are not protected from hardship. They are simply trained. They have learned to master themselves before trying to master anything else. And because of that, they live with a clarity that others can feel, but rarely understand. In this episode, we're going to explore 10 Stoic principles. Simple, sharp, and powerful ideas designed to help you think more clearly, act more calmly, and move through the world with a kind of unshakable inner control. These principles are not theories, they are practices. They reshape how you interpret moments, how you communicate, how you make decisions, and how you carry yourself through uncertainty. But as you listen, remember something essential. The goal is not perfection. The goal is awareness. Every moment you notice your reaction instead of being consumed by it, you grow. Every time you pause before speaking, you sharpen your clarity. Every time you choose calm over chaos, you become a little stronger. And strength built this way, through presence, patience, and introspection, is the kind that lasts. So take a breath. Slow down. Let your mind become quiet enough to hear what truly matters. Because once you master your inner world, the outer world is no longer something to fear. 1. Master your inner world before trying to influence the outer one. There is a quiet truth at the center of every strong life, a truth the Stoics understood long before modern psychology confirmed it. The outer world is never truly the problem. The real struggle, the real turbulence, the real conflict always begins inside you. People spend their days trying to control circumstances, trying to shape outcomes, trying to influence others, trying to fix everything around them, while completely ignoring the one place where their power actually begins. Your inner world, your thoughts, your emotions, your impulses, your interpretations, is the command center of your entire existence. And until you learn to master it, the outer world will always feel bigger than you. Most of the difficulties people experience aren't created by reality itself, but by the mind's reaction to reality. Two people can face the exact same situation and live entirely different emotional experiences. One collapses under the weight of it, the other stays steady, grounded, deliberate. The difference isn't luck, it's inner training. Because the world doesn't decide your peace, you do. The world doesn't choose your perception, you do. The world doesn't control your response, you do. This is the foundation of mastering your inner world. Understanding that your first and greatest responsibility is to command the state of your own mind. Think about how easily the outer world can trigger chaos inside you when you're unprepared. A single comment ruins your day. A small problem feels enormous. A minor setback becomes a story about failure. Someone else's mood becomes your mood. You absorb everything, react to everything, take everything personally, because you haven't yet built the inner structure needed to filter, process, and direct your own mind. Without that inner structure, your peace becomes fragile, dependent on circumstances, vulnerable to randomness, unstable, and easily shaken. But when you master your inner world, something shifts. You begin to feel a sense of stability that doesn't come from comfort, but from clarity. You start noticing your thoughts before they run away with you. You observe your emotions instead of drowning in them. You catch impulses before they become reactions. You live with a sense of awareness that makes you harder to manipulate, harder to provoke, harder to unbalance. People around you may still be unpredictable, but their unpredictability no longer becomes your emotional instability. Mastering your inner world doesn't mean suppressing your feelings or pretending nothing affects you. It means understanding your feelings deeply enough that you're no longer controlled by them. It means creating a space between stimulus and response. A space where your wisdom can step forward before your emotions do. It means choosing your interpretation of events rather than accepting the mind's automatic narratives. When something happens, you don't rush into panic or anger or fear. You slow down, you breathe, you look inward first, not outward. And as you build this inner strength, you start to realize how much energy you used to waste trying to control things that were never yours to control. Other people's opinions, their reactions, their expectations, their emotions, their behavior. None of these are your responsibility, and yet you carried them as if they were. When you shift your focus inward, when you learn to master your attention, your reactions, your discipline, the outer world suddenly becomes simpler. Problems become clearer, relationships become healthier, decisions become easier. When you stop trying to command the world stops commanding you. This inner mastery also transforms the way you influence others. People think influence comes from persuasion or authority or confidence, but the deepest influence comes from presence, from being someone who is centered, calm, intentional, and grounded. People feel that. They trust it. They follow it without being asked. When you master yourself, you naturally become someone others look to in moments of uncertainty, not because you shout the loudest, but because you remain steady when others struggle to stay upright. And here's the quiet truth that ties everything together. You cannot lead anyone, not a team, not a relationship, not a family, not even your own life, if you cannot lead your own mind. The outer world bends to those who command their inner world first. This is where your power lives. Not in outcomes, not in circumstances, not in control over others, but in control over yourself. So before you try to fix the world, step into your own mind. Look at what rises inside you, how it moves, how it shapes your perception, how it guides your choices. Strength begins there. Peace begins there. Clarity begins there. And once you master that inner space, the outer world becomes far less intimidating because you finally understand that nothing outside you can break the fortress you build within. 2. Slow thinking is superior thinking. There is a quiet kind of intelligence that most people never access because they move too fast. They think quickly, react quickly, speak quickly, decide quickly, as if speed itself were a sign of wisdom. But the truth is the opposite. The mind reveals its deepest clarity only when it slows down enough to see what is actually happening. Fast thinking belongs to survival. Slow thinking belongs to understanding. And the person who learns to slow their mind becomes someone the world cannot pressure, someone whose clarity protects them from unnecessary mistakes, unnecessary emotions, and unnecessary chaos. When something happens, a problem, a disagreement, a moment of stress, the instinct is to react immediately. The mind jumps ahead, creating stories, assumptions, fears, conclusions. It tries to fill in the gaps before it even knows what's real. Fast thinking feels powerful in the moment, but it often leads to confusion, conflict, and regret. You respond before observing. You judge before understanding. You assume before listening. And because of that, you create problems where none existed. Slow thinking works differently. It creates space, a space where truth can reveal itself naturally instead of being forced. When you slow down, you notice details you would have missed. You sense patterns instead of isolated moments. You hear what people actually mean, not just what they say. You recognize emotional currents that shape situations. You see the bigger picture instead of getting trapped in the moment. And this shift, this small pause, becomes the difference between reacting blindly and responding wisely. Think of a lake. When the water is disturbed, the surface becomes cloudy and nothing beneath it is visible. But when the water becomes still, everything becomes clear. The depth, the shape, the reflections. The mind works in the same way. A fast, agitated mind is like disturbed water. It cannot see the truth because everything is moving too quickly. A slow mind is like still water. It perceives reality as it is. This doesn't mean becoming passive or indecisive. Slow thinking is not about hesitation. It's about clarity. It's choosing to observe before acting. It's allowing your mind to settle so you can understand, instead of assuming. It's taking a breath before responding so that your words come from strength rather than emotion. In a world that pushes constant speed, slowing down becomes an act of power. Notice how pressure affects you. When someone expects an immediate answer, your mind tightens. When a situation escalates quickly, your emotions rise. When the environment becomes loud, your inner world becomes reactive. And the faster you move, the more likely you are to lose control of yourself. But when you slow your thoughts, even under pressure, you become unshakable. People can rush, demand, provoke, but your mind remains steady, observing quietly, deciding slowly. And because your decisions come from clarity, they carry more weight. Slow thinking also protects you from manipulation. People who seek to influence you often rely on your speed. They want you to react without thinking. They want you emotional, impulsive, off balance. But when you slow down, their strategy fails. You see their intention before responding. You notice inconsistencies in their words. You sense emotional traps and avoid them. You become harder to deceive, harder to provoke, harder to control. Your calm becomes a shield. Even in personal matters, slow thinking strengthens you. When you slow down, you stop taking things personally because you see the motives behind people's behavior. You stop catastrophizing because you realize most fears come from imagination, not reality. You stop making decisions from insecurity because you give yourself time to understand what you truly want. Slow thinking is not just a skill, it's a lifestyle, one that brings peace, clarity, and emotional maturity. And the beautiful thing is this: slowing down doesn't make life slower, it makes life clearer. You begin to act with intention instead of speed. You begin to speak with purpose instead of pressure. You begin to navigate challenges with precision instead of panic. The world around you becomes less chaotic because your mind is no longer part of the chaos. So the next time your mind tries to rush, pause. Notice the moment. Feel the tension in your thoughts. Allow yourself the luxury of slowness, because in that slowness, intelligence awakens. Truth reveals itself. Wisdom enters the room. Slow thinking isn't just superior thinking. It is the foundation of calm action, clear perception, and unshakable control. 3. Don't let emotions drive. Let them inform. There is a moment inside every experience, subtle, silent, and often unnoticed, when an emotion rises before you even realize what triggered it. A tension in the chest, a tightening in the jaw, a shift in your breathing, a sudden warmth in the face. These are the earliest whispers of emotion, and for many people, this is the moment where control is lost. The emotion doesn't just rise, it takes the wheel. It speaks louder than reason, faster than reflection, stronger than intention. And once it becomes the driver, clarity disappears. But the Stoics understood something profoundly different. Emotions are not the enemy. They are signals. They carry information about what matters to you, what threatens you, what wounds you, what inspires you. The problem is not feeling. The problem is letting feelings dictate your actions before your mind has a chance to understand them. Emotion should inform the moment, not dominate it. It should guide your awareness, not control your behavior. Look at your life and you will see how often emotions become drivers instead of advisors. A moment of anger turns into a decision you regret. A moment of fear turns into avoidance that limits your life. A moment of insecurity turns into overthinking that drains your energy. These emotional impulses feel powerful, but they rarely lead you toward the person you want to become. They push you into reactions instead of responses, into confusion instead of clarity. But when you learn to let emotions inform rather than drive, everything changes. You begin by noticing the emotion without obeying it. You notice anger and ask why. You notice sadness and ask what it is trying to show you. You notice fear and examine whether it is truthful or imagined. You become curious rather than reactive. This curiosity creates a pause, a small but powerful space. And in that space, you reclaim your ability to choose. Imagine your emotional life as a conversation. If emotion is allowed to speak, it becomes a helpful voice. It says, "This crossed a boundary," or "This feels unsafe," or "This matters to you," or "This reminds you of something important." But if emotion is allowed to command, it becomes a tyrant. It shouts instead of whispers. It distorts instead of clarifies. It demands immediate reaction instead of thoughtful response. Letting emotion inform means you give it a seat at the table, but not the head of the table. It can contribute, but it cannot decide. There is a quiet strength in this approach. When you separate feeling from action, you become harder to manipulate. People who want to provoke you lose their power. Situations that aim to overwhelm you lose their influence. The emotional traps that once pulled you in, arguments, drama, projections, no longer capture you because you're not responding to the emotion itself. You're responding to the truth beneath it. And something else happens. Your emotional intelligence deepens. You become more attuned to the layers inside you. You recognize when anger is actually hurt, when fear is actually uncertainty, when frustration is actually exhaustion. You begin to understand yourself on a deeper level, not by ignoring your emotions, but by interpreting them accurately. This is what emotional maturity looks like. Not numbness, not suppression, but clarity. Feeling fully, without being ruled by what you feel. You'll also find that your relationships change. Conversations become calmer. Conflicts become shorter. Boundaries become clearer. Because when you are not driven by raw emotion, you communicate from a place of intention rather than reaction. You express what you truly mean instead of what the moment pressures you to say. You listen better. You choose better. You become a stable presence in a world full of emotional turbulence. And here is the quiet truth. People respect the person who feels deeply but responds wisely. It shows strength, not softness. Discipline, not detachment. Awareness, not avoidance. So the next time an emotion rises, and it will, let it speak, but do not let it steer. Listen to it the way you'd listen to a friend offering advice, with openness, but not blind obedience. Ask what it's trying to show you. Ask whether it's true. Ask whether it deserves action. And only then, only after understanding, choose your next move. Because when you let emotions inform but not drive, you don't lose your sensitivity, you gain your power. 4. Silence is a strategy, not weakness. There is a kind of power in silence that most people overlook because they were raised to believe that strength must be loud, that you must argue to prove a point, speak to defend yourself, explain to justify your actions, react to show that you care. But silence holds a different kind of strength, one that doesn't rely on noise, one that doesn't demand attention. It is a strength rooted in control, intention, and awareness. And the moment you understand this, you begin to see silence not as a lack of power, but as the strongest form of it. Silence creates an atmosphere that words can never create. When you choose not to react impulsively, when you refuse to be dragged into pointless debates, when you allow space instead of filling it, people feel something shift. They sense presence. They sense depth. They sense a stability that does not need validation. Silence transforms the energy in the room because it shows that you are not desperate to be heard, nor afraid to be misunderstood, nor insecure about your own position. Most people misunderstand silence because they see it as a surrender. But silence, when chosen consciously, is not surrender. It is strategy. It is the decision to protect your clarity rather than argue with confusion. It is the choice to conserve your energy rather than waste it on people who want a reaction, not a resolution. It is the awareness that words carry weight, and when spoken from impulse, they become weapons that hurt you more than they protect you. When someone tries to provoke you, your silence denies them what they want. When someone wants you to explain yourself endlessly, your silence communicates boundaries they did not expect. When someone seeks chaos, your silence protects your inner world. People who feed on reaction are disarmed the moment you stop reacting. In silence, you become unpredictable, and unpredictability is power. Silence also allows truth to rise. When you stop talking, you start observing. You notice details in people's behavior, patterns in their tone, contradictions in their stories. You see what is real instead of what they want you to see. People reveal themselves in the space your silence creates. Without you interrupting, defending, or filling the moment with your own emotions, they show their intentions clearly. Silence becomes a form of intelligence, a way of understanding the world without the distortion of noise. Even with yourself, silence has a transformative effect. It calms the mind, it slows the emotional storm, it gives you space to think, to breathe, to settle into your deeper self. In silence, you hear the thoughts beneath the thoughts, the ones that only surface when everything else grows quiet. You become aware of your fears, your desires, your instincts, your illusions. Without silence, you live on the surface of life. With silence, you meet yourself. And yet, embracing silence in a world obsessed with noise takes courage. People expect immediate responses. They expect emotional participation. They expect explanations on demand. But silence breaks these expectations. It interrupts the pattern. It reveals strength that doesn't need approval. And for many, that strength is intimidating because they can't read you, can't control you, can't predict your next move. Silence is not the absence of action. It is preparation for better action. It allows you to gather your thoughts, understand the situation, and choose a response instead of falling into a reaction. When you act from silence, your decisions are sharper. Your words carry more weight. Your presence speaks before you do. And here is something most people never realize. Silence naturally elevates your authority. The less you speak, the more people listen when you finally do. The less you react, the more people respect your boundaries. The less you explain yourself, the more others understand that your worth is not up for debate. Silence gives value to your voice, not because your voice becomes louder, but because it becomes intentional. So let silence be your strategy. Let it guard your energy. Let it expose truth. Let it steady your mind. Let it create a space where wisdom can rise. Silence does not make you weak. It makes you unshakable. It is not emptiness. It is mastery. Because the person who controls their silence controls the moment. 5. Stillness reveals what noise hides. There is something almost impossible to see when life is loud, something subtle, delicate, and easily drowned by the constant movement of the world. Clarity. Not the kind of clarity that comes from thinking harder or trying more, but the clarity that comes from stepping back, slowing down, and letting stillness rise inside you. Most people never experience this kind of clarity because they spend their lives surrounded by noise. The noise of responsibilities, conversations, opinions, notifications, expectations, and inner thoughts that never stop pulling their attention in a thousand directions. But when you allow stillness to enter your life, even for brief moments, you begin to see what noise always hides. Noise hides truth. Stillness reveals it. Noise hides patterns. Stillness illuminates them. Noise hides who you really are. Stillness brings you back to yourself. The Stoics understood that stillness is not laziness or withdrawal. It is the art of creating enough silence within yourself to see life as it actually is, not as your fear, frustration, or stress paints it. Noise clouds perception. Stillness sharpens it. And when your perception becomes sharp, your decisions become wiser, your emotions become calmer, and your actions become more intentional. Think about how different life feels when you're alone in a quiet room, or walking without your phone, or sitting in nature with nothing demanding your attention. In these moments, thoughts settle naturally. They stop racing and begin to flow. Problems that felt overwhelming shrink to their true size. Situations that felt urgent lose their pressure. You begin to understand what matters and what doesn't. Stillness acts like a filter, separating the essential from the unimportant, the real from the imagined. But stillness is not something the modern world gives easily. It must be chosen, and choosing it means stepping away from the noise others depend on. Many people fear stillness because silence forces them to face themselves, the parts they've ignored, the emotions they've buried, the questions they've avoided. But facing these things is exactly what creates strength. Stillness does not weaken you. It prepares you. It teaches you to understand your internal landscape so that the external world cannot easily control you. In stillness, you reconnect with yourself. You notice the habits that drain your energy, the thoughts that distort your judgment, the emotions that rise too quickly. You begin to see the stories you've been telling yourself, stories about your worth, your future, your past, and you learn which ones serve you and which ones don't. Noise distracts you from your inner world. Stillness introduces you to it. There is also a strategic strength in stillness. When you are still, you observe. You see dynamics in relationships that others overlook. You feel the emotional temperature of a room before anyone speaks. You understand motives that others miss. You sense danger sooner and opportunity earlier. You become someone who moves not out of pressure, but out of precision. And here is something rarely discussed. Stillness gives you a different kind of confidence, a quiet, grounded confidence that comes from knowing yourself deeply. When you spend time in stillness, you stop seeking validation because you understand your own worth. You stop chasing distractions because you recognize what you're running from. You stop fearing silence because silence becomes your ally. The more time you spend in stillness, the more your inner world becomes organized and the less chaos you carry into your outer world. You stop reacting emotionally to every moment because you've learned to sit with your emotions long enough to understand them. You stop overthinking because clarity rises naturally when your mind isn't consumed by noise. You stop rushing because stillness teaches you the beauty of deliberate action. Stillness is not escape. It's preparation. It's where growth happens when nobody is watching. It's where strength is built in ways the world cannot see. It's where your deepest wisdom begins to form. So let yourself be still, even if the world tells you to stay busy. Step into silence, even if your mind protests at first. Sit with your thoughts long enough to see what they're trying to show you, because stillness reveals what noise hides. The truth, the patterns, the possibilities, and the path you were always meant to walk. And the more you learn to return to that stillness, the more unshakable you become. 6. Respond with intention, not impulse. There is a quiet space inside every moment, a space most people never notice and therefore never use. It exists between what happens to you and how you choose to respond. A comment is made, an unexpected event unfolds, a problem appears, a feeling rises, a challenge hits you. And in that tiny space, far smaller than a breath, lives the difference between chaos and clarity. Most people move through life without ever entering that space. Their reactions are automatic. Their impulses take control. Their emotions speak louder than their intentions. And because of this, their life becomes a chain of reactions rather than a path of chosen responses. The Stoics believed that this small space is the birthplace of human freedom. They understood that you cannot control everything that happens around you, but you can always control how you interpret it and how you act afterward. When you respond intentionally, you reclaim your power from the randomness of the world. You become someone whose behavior is shaped by wisdom rather than emotion, by clarity rather than impulse. Impulsive reactions feel satisfying in the moment because they are fast and emotional. They give you the illusion of power, the quick reply, the raised voice, the immediate judgment. But they almost always leave you weaker. They create conflicts you could have avoided. They cause misunderstandings that didn't need to exist. They push you into decisions you later regret. Impulse is the mind on autopilot, moving without awareness, acting without alignment, speaking without thought. Intentional response is the opposite. It is slow, deliberate, and grounded. It requires you to step into that inner space, even for a second, and ask a simple question. What outcome do I want to create right now? Not what your emotions want, not what fear demands, not what pride pushes you toward, but what your deeper self knows is right. This pause is not weakness, it is mastery. It is the moment when the storm inside you settles enough for clarity to rise. It is the moment when you stop living as a reaction to life and start living as the author of your own behavior. Imagine someone insults you, expecting you to react with anger. A reactive mind fires back, escalating the situation. An intentional mind observes the insult, understands its origin, perhaps insecurity, misunderstanding, stress, and chooses a response that protects peace rather than destroys it. The situation becomes small instead of explosive because you chose not to feed the fire. Imagine a stressful moment hits you, a mistake at work, a sudden problem, a plan falling apart. A reactive mind panics, making the situation worse. An intentional mind pauses, breathes, assesses the facts, and chooses the next step with clarity. The same problem becomes manageable simply because you refuse to let impulse take over. Intentional living also protects your relationships. When you respond with intention, you communicate from a place of stability rather than frustration. You express your needs clearly instead of aggressively. You listen instead of assuming. You choose words that build connection instead of words that create distance. Intentionality turns conflict into understanding, misunderstanding into clarity, and frustration into meaningful dialogue. And there is a quiet beauty in the way intentionality transforms your inner world. When you stop reacting impulsively, you stop draining your energy. You stop being emotionally exhausted by every interaction. You stop carrying guilt, regret, or frustration from actions you wish you could take back. Your inner voice grows calmer. Your days feel more ordered. Your life becomes more peaceful, not because the world changed, but because you did. This skill, responding with intention, must be practiced in small moments, in a delayed response to a message, in taking a breath before speaking, in choosing to listen fully before forming an opinion, in noticing when emotion rises and allowing it to settle before you act. Over time, this small habit becomes your nature. You begin to move through the world with a kind of quiet, grounded confidence that others notice immediately. So the next time life presents you with something unexpected, something frustrating, something emotionally charged, pause. Step into that small space within yourself and let intention, not impulse, guide you. Because every intentional response moves you closer to the life you want, and every impulsive reaction pulls you further away. Respond with intention, and you reclaim your power. 7. Choose battles that matter. Ignore everything else. There is a moment in life when you realize that not every conflict deserves your presence, not every comment deserves your reaction, and not every situation deserves your energy. Yet most people live as if everything requires their involvement. Every insult becomes a fight. Every opinion becomes a personal attack. Every inconvenience becomes a battle. And slowly, without noticing, their energy is drained, their clarity fades, and their life becomes a constant state of emotional exhaustion. The Stoics believed that strength is not measured by how many battles you fight, but by how many battles you refuse to fight. Wisdom lies not in defeating every opponent, but in recognizing which opponents are worth even acknowledging. Energy is a currency, and most people spend it recklessly, reacting to everything that moves, everything that irritates, everything that touches their pride. But a person who wants peace, progress, and mastery must choose differently. They must learn to protect their energy with the same seriousness they protect their time, their health, and their dignity. Imagine your energy like a flame. Every time you react to something small, that flame shrinks. Every time you engage with someone who just wants to provoke you, that flame dims. Every time you let irritation pull you into pointless arguments, that flame loses its strength. By the end of the day, you are exhausted, not because life demanded too much, but because you gave too much to what never deserved you. Choosing your battles means understanding that not everything is worth your fire. Some people argue not because they seek truth, but because they need attention. Some comments are made not to express meaning, but to provoke emotion. Some situations arise not because they matter, but because the world is chaotic by nature. If you let these things control your reactions, you become a slave to the smallest forces around you. But when you learn to ignore what is beneath you, the petty comments, the unnecessary drama, the ego battles, the impulsive provocations, you free your mind from noise that has nothing to do with your path. Choosing your battles also means choosing your values. If something threatens your integrity, your principles, your loved ones, or your long-term growth, then it deserves your attention. But if something threatens only your ego, a bruised pride, a misunderstood word, a temporary inconvenience, it is almost always better to let it go. Ego wants you to fight every battle. Wisdom wants you to fight only the ones that matter. There's a calm confidence that develops when you stop responding to everything. People begin to notice your discipline. Your emotional stability becomes visible. They realize you cannot be easily provoked, and that your silence is not weakness, but maturity. You become someone who carries yourself with purpose, someone who acts, not reacts. And it's important to understand that ignoring something is not the same as fearing it. Ignoring is a choice, a deliberate decision that something is too small, too meaningless, or too temporary to disturb your inner world. When you choose not to engage, you are not running away from conflict. You are choosing your future over your impulse. You are saying, "My energy has a direction, and this isn't it." This shift changes everything. Your mind becomes less cluttered. Your days become more peaceful. Your decisions become sharper. You stop chasing validation and start preserving your strength. You stop giving people access to your emotions simply because they demand a reaction. You stop wasting energy on what doesn't add value to your life. Choosing your battles also builds long-term resilience. When your mind is free from unnecessary conflict, you have more energy for the challenges that truly matter: your goals, your growth, your relationships, your health. You begin to see life as a landscape of choices rather than a series of reactions. Your path becomes clearer because your attention is no longer scattered across 100 meaningless battles. So ask yourself every time something pulls at you, does this truly matter? Will it matter in a week, a month, a year? Does it align with the person I want to become? If the answer is no, then let it pass. Preserve your energy for what is real, meaningful, and aligned with your purpose. Because the more wisely you choose your battles, the more control you gain over your life. And in the end, the strongest person is not the one who fights everything, but the one who saves their strength for what truly matters. 8. Emotional neutrality is your shield. There is a kind of strength few people ever learn to cultivate, a strength that doesn't come from force, speed, or intensity, but from calm neutrality, a steady emotional baseline that remains unshaken even when the world becomes chaotic. Emotional neutrality doesn't mean being cold or detached. It doesn't mean suppressing your feelings or refusing to care. It means remaining centered, balanced, and grounded no matter what emotion tries to rise inside you. It means refusing to let the highs pull you too high or the lows pull you too low. It is the art of staying steady in a world that constantly pushes you to lose balance. Most people live at the mercy of their emotions. Their day is good if their mood is good. Their confidence rises or falls, depending on how others treat them. Their peace disappears the moment something disrupts their expectations. They are like ships tossed by waves, always moving, always reacting, never anchored. But emotional neutrality gives you an anchor. It gives you a quiet place inside yourself where you can stand, observe, process, and respond without being overwhelmed by the emotional storms that pass through you. Imagine walking into a stressful situation, tension in a room, conflict between people, unexpected problems, and instead of absorbing the intensity, you remain calm. Your breath stays steady, your voice stays even, your mind stays clear. Others panic, argue, complain, or escalate, but you remain centered. This calm presence doesn't just protect your inner world, it influences the outer one. People trust the person who remains steady when everyone else loses control. They look to you for guidance, even without you saying a word. Emotional neutrality is not about rejecting emotion, it's about understanding it. It's about noticing your feelings without letting them command your actions. Anger rises, you notice it, you understand why, and you choose whether to express it. Fear rises, you observe it without letting it shrink your courage. Insecurity whispers, you acknowledge it without letting it direct your behavior. Emotion becomes a signal, not a dictator. This ability changes the way you experience life. When you are emotionally neutral, you stop taking things personally. Someone's bad mood no longer becomes your bad mood. Someone's comment no longer ruins your sense of self. Someone's failure to meet your expectations no longer destabilizes your inner peace. You see situations with clarity because emotion no longer distorts your perception. You see people as they are, not as your emotional reactions portray them. Emotional neutrality is also a shield against manipulation. People who try to provoke you depend on your reactions, your anger, your confusion, your insecurity. When you respond emotionally, they gain control. But when you remain neutral, their strategy collapses. They have nowhere to hook into your mind. You become unpredictable, unshakable, unreadable in the best way. Your calm becomes a boundary they cannot cross. And this neutrality doesn't make you distant, it makes you wise. You listen better because you're not waiting to defend yourself. You communicate better because you speak from clarity rather than impulse. You make better decisions because you're not blinded by momentary feelings. You live with more peace because you're no longer dragged into every emotional storm around you. Neutrality also deepens your relationships. When you are balanced, you hold space for others without absorbing their pain. You become a source of stability, not a mirror of their chaos. You can comfort without becoming overwhelmed, advise without becoming reactive, love without losing yourself. It is important to understand that emotional neutrality is not natural. It is trained. It is built through small acts of awareness, through taking a breath before responding, through observing your feelings without judgment, through choosing calm even when your mind wants to explode, through recognizing that your emotions are visitors, not residents. And slowly, neutrality becomes your default state. You feel deeply but respond wisely. You care genuinely but stay grounded. You experience emotions without becoming them. This is the shield the Stoics carried, a shield that protects peace, preserves clarity, and strengthens identity. So when chaos rises, inside you or around you, return to your center. Become quiet inside. Let emotions pass through you like waves passing over a rock that refuses to move. Because when you master emotional neutrality, nothing can pull you off balance. In a world that reacts to everything, be the one who remains still. 9. Adaptation is the highest intelligence. There comes a moment in every person's life when the world stops matching their expectations. Things change, people change, circumstances shift in unpredictable ways. Plans fall apart, paths vanish, and what once felt secure suddenly becomes uncertain. In these moments, many people resist. They fight the change, deny it, fear it, or cling to what no longer exists. And in doing so, they create their own suffering. But the Stoics understood a timeless truth. Adaptation is not just a skill. It is the highest form of intelligence. To adapt means to remain yourself while adjusting your approach. It is the ability to bend without breaking, to evolve without losing your essence, to stay fluid without becoming shapeless. Life moves constantly, and the people who grow are the ones who move with it. Those who resist change end up trapped in a world that no longer exists, living in conflict with reality instead of working with it. But those who adapt grow stronger, wiser, and more capable of navigating whatever comes next. Adaptation begins with awareness. It requires you to see things as they are, not as you wish they were. Most people struggle with this because their mind clings to the past, to old identities, old stories, old expectations. They say, "This is how things should be," and when life disagrees, they suffer. But when you learn to say, "This is how things are," you free yourself. You stop wasting energy fighting what you cannot control and start focusing on what you can shape. Think of water. It takes the shape of its container, adapts to every environment, and yet remains entirely itself. It flows around obstacles instead of crashing into them. It moves forward, not by force, but by flexibility. This is how adaptation works. When life changes, you adjust your strategy. When a door closes, you look for another. When someone pulls away, you accept the distance and redirect your energy. When a plan fails, you learn, refine, and rebuild. Adaptation keeps you moving. And here is something most people never understand. Adaptation is not weakness. It is not surrender. It is not giving up. It is intelligence. It is strategy. It is survival. The strongest trees survive storms, not because they stand rigid, but because they sway with the wind. The most successful individuals navigate uncertainty not by resisting it, but by evolving with it. Rigidity breaks. Flexibility endures. Adaptation also protects your inner peace. When you accept that change is inevitable, you stop taking it personally. You stop asking, "Why is this happening to me?" and instead ask, "What is this teaching me?" You stop clinging to how things used to be and start paying attention to what is possible now. This shift transforms stress into growth, fear into clarity, and frustration into opportunity. It also changes your relationships. People will not always stay the same. Their priorities, emotions, and paths will shift. Adaptation helps you meet people where they are instead of where you wish they were. It allows you to love without trying to control, to support without losing yourself, to let go without resentment. In this way, adaptation becomes emotional wisdom, the ability to stay connected through change instead of fighting it. Adaptation is also a form of humility. It means acknowledging that you don't have all the answers, that the world is bigger than your plans, that life moves in ways you cannot predict. And from this humility rises a deeper intelligence, the ability to learn from every moment, to adjust your behavior, to improve your strategy, to evolve your identity. The person who adapts becomes a student of life, always growing, always adjusting, always becoming. But adaptation does not mean abandoning your values. The Stoics were clear. Your principles remain your anchor. Your strategy can change, but your integrity must stay constant. The world may shift, but your character should not. True adaptation is the balance between flexibility and strength, the ability to change your methods without changing your core. So when life presents you with change, expected or unexpected, don't resist it. Observe it. Understand it. Adjust to it. Let it shape your strategy, but not your soul. Because adaptation is not just reacting to life, it is transforming with life. It is growing into the person each new moment demands. And when you learn to adapt with purpose, you become unstoppable. 10-10. Lead in silence. Win without noise. There is a kind of leadership the world rarely talks about, a form of influence that doesn't come from loud speeches, grand gestures, or constant demonstration of confidence. It comes from silence, not the silence of fear or suppression, but the silence of presence. A grounded, intentional, steady silence that makes people pay attention without you having to demand it. When you lead in silence, you lead not by noise, but by example. You win not through force, but through alignment. You influence not through pressure, but through the inner strength others can feel the moment you walk into a room. Most people believe that leadership requires visibility, that you need to speak often, defend your position, explain your actions, justify your feelings, or assert your authority. But the Stoics understood something different. They understood that leadership begins with self-command, not external performance. You do not become a leader the moment others follow you. You become a leader the moment you learn to guide yourself. And self-guidance rarely needs noise. It needs clarity. It needs purpose. It needs consistency. And above all, it needs the discipline to move quietly in a world addicted to attention. Leading in silence means you understand the power of restraint. You don't rush to correct every misunderstanding. You don't fight every opinion that contradicts yours. You don't enter every argument that invites you. You don't reveal your strategy before you execute it. You allow your actions to speak for you, and actions spoken from calm intention carry more weight than any words spoken in urgency. Silence also protects your power. The moment you speak too much, you expose your doubts. The moment you react emotionally, you show people where your buttons are. The moment you explain yourself excessively, you teach others not to take your boundaries seriously. But when you choose silence, when you hold your internal position without needing to justify it, people feel a different kind of authority, one that does not depend on external validation. They sense certainty. They sense depth. They sense that your decisions come from a place inside you that cannot be influenced by pressure or provocation. This kind of leadership also shapes how others behave around you. When you move quietly, intentionally, others begin to slow down around you. They become more thoughtful in your presence. They choose their words more carefully. They pay closer attention. Silence doesn't just influence your internal state, it shapes the atmosphere around you. In a world full of noise, your calm becomes magnetic. Leading in silence also requires patience, the willingness to wait, observe, and act when the moment is right, rather than when emotion demands immediate movement. Many people lose battles simply because they act too quickly. They reveal too much. They respond too soon. They make decisions from insecurity rather than clarity. But silent leadership teaches you to move only when you have seen enough, understood enough, and chosen enough. It aligns you with timing instead of impulse. And here is a deeper truth. Silence is not emptiness. It is listening. Listening to the situation. Listening to your intuition. Listening to the quiet signals others miss because they are too busy talking. When you lead through silence, you operate with more information than others realize, and that information becomes your advantage. But the greatest power of silent leadership is this: it centers you. You no longer chase recognition. You no longer seek applause. You no longer depend on validation. Your identity comes from who you are, not who sees you. Your strength comes from your discipline, not from anyone's approval. You move with intention, with quiet confidence, with the understanding that noise does not equal impact. And the world begins to adjust to your presence, because your presence is stable, grounded, and uncontrollable. So as this journey of principles comes to a close, remember this final truth. Your silence is not the absence of power. It is the refinement of it. Your quiet presence can influence more than your loudest words. Your calm leadership can move more than force ever could. And maybe the question that remains, the one that now belongs to you, is this: what would your life look like if you led it with intention, clarity, and silent strength? How much unnecessary noise would fall away? How differently would the world respond to you? Only you can answer that. And the answer begins in the quiet space within you, the space where real control, real clarity, and real leadership are born.